Welcome to Elder Care Issues with Tom Day, Director of the Utah Care Planning Council. I'm your host, Mark Van Wagner, and welcome to this beautiful Saturday morning. And it's our first show, the inaugural show of Elder Care Issues, and I've had a good chance to check out Mr. Day's website. And also, first off, Tom Day, if you were to do a Yahoo or a Google search for long-term care, you're the number one hit, not only in Utah, but in the country?
In the world.
In the world?
Yes.
In the world?
Yes. If you go to the four major search engines, which own about 94% of the search market, which is Google, AOL Search, MSN, and Yahoo, and type in long-term care, our site, or my site, Long-Term Care Link, comes up number one of the non-sponsored. I don't pay for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read in a recent Wall Street Journal article that seniors use their computers more than college students.
And that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And a lot of people, in fact, every single elder care facility that I have visited recently has the Ethernet hooked up and a little place right there for their computers. So, So let's tell everybody how to get to your website, first of all.
Well, first of all, I have a number of websites. The Long-Term Care Link website is longtermcarelink, one word, L-I-N-K, .net.
Longtermcarelink.net.
Right. But we also have a website for the Utah Care Planning Council, which is called careutah.com.
CareUtah.
And that's specific to Utah.
Now, I had a chance to visit these websites, and I am quite impressed. You know, I have been following issues about the graying of America since 1990. It's been just a great subject of mine because our country is getting older, and we are not having the families that we used to have to take care of us in our older age. However, I did find something interesting in the latest editorial from Business Week magazine. Baby boomers are in a frenzy about their retirement. The oldest turned 62 in 2008, and everyone from their financial advisors to their mothers has told them they don't save enough. Politicians make it worse with dire warnings of Social Security's imminent demise. With time running out, baby boomers worry that their scoldings of their parents may be right and they won't have enough money to retire. Well, the boomers shouldn't worry about eating cat food in their old age because Business Week's retirement guide shows that they've amassed more wealth than their parents did at a comparable age, earn more real income, and save at roughly the same rate. They also have better prospects of working longer into retirement. And if Social Security discontinues as it is, it won't be empty until 2052. And hopefully between now and then, something will happen and we'll rescue it. But they're saying the thing, the whole key, is planning. If you fail to plan, then that old adage, you plan to fail, is true. And that's what we're all about.
Is that the issue from about 3 weeks ago?
I think it is. This is, July 26, 2004.
Oh, the issue before that, Howard Gleckman did an article, called me on the phone, and did an hour-and-a-half interview, and I'm quoted in the in Business Week in that particular issue on long-term care insurance was the issue that they were interviewing me on.
Fantastic. We're going to be talking. We're going to spend this half hour every single Saturday talking about these issues that are affecting so many of us, and too many of us are being affected negatively by aging, and it shouldn't be that way. And that's why the Utah Care Planning Council is there. Let's talk about the Utah Care Planning Council.
Okay.
Tell me about it. What is the main goal, the objective? Who are you?
First of all, we're a nonprofit alliance of experts in the area of long-term care planning. We've come together for the purpose of helping the public, and in addition, we want the public to use our services or our products. We have three groups. The most organized group right now is the Salt Lake Valley Group. There are six of us. There's myself. I'm a certified elder care advisor. We have probably one of the best elder law attorneys in the valley right now. His name is Cal Curtis. He's with the firm of Van Cott and Bagley, and he's an elder law attorney. He understands all of those issues, and that's all he does. That's his entire practice.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a care provider, a personal care home health agency. Then we have a reverse mortgage specialist. We have a care manager who helps with the needs of families who need care management. And we have a financial planner, a retirement planner, who works with Lincoln Financial, who helps us with those kinds of issues.
What a great council that you've got put together.
Well, and our goal is to help people with the planning process. That's our focus.
And one thing I want to congratulate you on, Tom, that I find really heartwarming is that the purpose of the show and the reason why the Utah Care Planning Council is doing this show here on KDYL is just to dispense information so people are not caught short. You know, how many people would you estimate can retire comfortably? Do you have any?
I really don't. I used to do a lot of retirement planning, most of the people I dealt with, I would say, were somewhat deficient in their in their planning for retirement. And for planning for elder care, I don't believe anybody plans for elder care. It just happens to them, and then it becomes a crisis, and they have to deal with it.
So it's management by crisis, then?
Exactly.
I would think I'm just right next to him is Greg Gregson, who is director of the Northern Utah. Utah Care Planning Council. He has a group up there, and next week's show we'll be talking with Greg. But Greg, feel free to drop in anytime. You have a comment? We have an open microphone policy here on this show, so feel free just to drop in anytime.
Would you concur with that, Greg? That it's nobody knows what they're doing until it happens, and then it's possibly too late.
My experience is that by the time I see people that need some help with the issues of a loved one going into a nursing home, they're pretty desperate. They have no preparation, no idea how to proceed. They're frustrated with the financial challenges that they face. And at the same time they're facing financial challenges, they're also dealing with deep emotional issues of losing a loved one, the companionship of a loved one, dealing with the severe illness of a loved one. So it's a difficult area that most people simply aren't prepared for.
Tom, what is the number one issue that you run into? Do you have a number one issue, a concern that you know that people who come to you have?
First of all, we do a lot of workshops. That's where a lot of people are coming to us.
Excellent.
Greg does a different form of a workshop with his group. But what I'm finding is most of the people who attend our workshops are not the elderly, but the children of the elderly. People in their late 40s, mid-50s. Mm-hmm. And generally what we're finding from the people who attend the workshop is that they're either concerned that mom and dad are going to need some care, they're dealing with care issues right now, or, as Greg mentioned, maybe it's come to a point where they have a crisis and they really don't know where to turn. And they're looking for advice and help. They just don't know where to turn.
You know, too many people, as Greg mentioned, just wait until it's almost too late, until it becomes a crisis. And then when it's in that situation, there's really not much you can do except maybe just try to pick up a few pieces and try to put a few things in place together. But, you know, when should we start planning?
Well, we'd like people to plan and make this as part of their preparation for retirement. That's what we're really after. But in addition, if it's an elderly couple but they're in good health, it's not too late for them to sit down, like say in late 60s, early 70s, to sit down and address the issues, talk to their children about what kind of care they want, where they want to receive that care, make sure that they have all the legal documents in place, the powers of attorney, the wills, possibly trusts. And make sure that they have the money to fund care if they have to pay for it out of their pocket someday.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wish, and I didn't get your permission before we went on the air to do this, but one of these days, and if you would like to, I'd like to talk about your situation and why you're doing this. You have a very special reason why this issue is important to you.
Absolutely. My wife and I went through long-term care with all four of our parents.
Mm-hmm.
I helped my mother take care of my father for 3 years. He was flat on his back with Parkinson's disease. It took us 2 hours to feed him. He called out day and night because he had dementia. And my mother felt that she had the strength, and she was in good health, and she was this vivacious little 5 foot, 110-pound woman that could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And after 3 years of caring for my father, she had destroyed her health. And we ended up taking her into our home and taking care of her for 3 years, and she died there. And then my father-in-law was taking care of my mother-in-law at home, and he had a stroke, couldn't take care of her anymore. And so we had to make a decision whether we were going to take both of them into our home. And the decision was made by my wife that she really didn't want to take care of her father because, quite frankly, she had changed my mother's dirty diapers and helped her with problems in the bathroom and bathed her, and she just couldn't fathom doing that with her father. A lot of people don't think about that. You know, when the kids say, "We're going to take care of you, Mom and Dad," they don't really
they
know
don't
what
think
they're
about
getting into.
Picking them up and bathing them and changing their diapers.
Right. And we didn't have a life for 3 years taking care of my mother. And then my mother, my wife's mother, came to live with us, and she lived with us for 2.5 years. She wasn't quite as hard to take care of, but I'd say 5.5 years, we really didn't have a life. We couldn't go anywhere. Mm. We took one vacation. And the only way we could take it was to put my mother into a nursing home for 3 weeks. And I think the nursing home saw us coming. It was a $5,000 bill.
Oh,
I mean, people just don't understand it until they've done it.
Exactly.
So I'm passionate about it. And then I have a condition that's a little bit like multiple sclerosis. It's an immune demyelinating neuropathy. And I've had it about 14 years. It makes it really difficult to walk and use my hands. And I could be facing long-term care at an earlier age than, say, my parents if my condition continues to worsen. By the way, just as an aside, I bought long-term care insurance when I was insurable.
So you bought this before you even knew that you would need it.
Right, and I'm a huge advocate of long-term care insurance.
What made you decide? Because most people don't. Most people don't think about it. I remember about 50% of my life is doing freelance narrations. I audition for a living and work as a hobby. And my agent had found this one project. They were asking for an announcer, and we went over an audition, and I was lucky enough to do it. And it was for the school boards, and they were putting together and encouraging that the teachers buy long-term care insurance. Now, this was about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and it's the first time I'd heard about this. And the teachers' union was actually putting together a program for its teachers, and they were encouraging them to buy long-term insurance, and they started hitting us with these numbers. And I saw the statistics, and I remember going home saying, "Gail, we better think about this, soon." How old were you at the time you bought the long-term care insurance?
50. It's been about 10 years ago, but my condition wasn't really diagnosed until after I bought the insurance.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what I'm saying is that was awfully serendipitous or fortuitous for you, or what made you decide? I mean, you didn't know that you were going to be facing this illness that you're facing. What motivated you to get long-term care insurance? Most people don't.
Our experience with our parents.
Ah.
And that's what I see with the community as a whole. When you've been through long-term care with a loved one, people are more likely to want to buy the insurance because they see the effects.
Now, my odds of needing long-term care are greater than my odds of a premature death, aren't they, especially with today's medicine?
Probably so. The statistics we hear say that any individual in their lifetime probably has about a 1 out of 2 chance of needing long-term care sometime in their life. Now, that might not be for a long period of time. It could be for just a few months.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us unfortunate enough to need it for a number of years, it can really eat up your assets.
Be devastating.
And destroy the health of a healthy caregiver.
And that's, you know, my mother passed away last summer from Alzheimer's. And she had it for several years. And my dad refused, number one, to admit that anything was wrong with Mom. And he just would not say that there wasn't, you know, your mother's fine. And then when finally she was hospitalized, he went out and he would get her and take her home. And then he would call up just completely worn out because she never slept. You know, she was in the full stage dementia, and it was, and his health was deteriorating. He couldn't do it. He would call out for help. So we would, you know, take care of it and go in and find some help, and then he would get rested and I can do this and go back at it again. And, you know, we were very fortunate that Mom's illness, that she did go that quickly, because we have other friends that are dealing with the same issue. It's been going on years now and years with their parents. And that's a pretty big bill. When you need help like that, you need professional help, because you can't do it. You really can't do it. In fact, there is in the late AARP magazine, this is the July-August issue, 2004, that just came out. It's called Profiles in Caregiving. And it talks about the emotional cost of our society on caregiving. You know what the number one way they are coping with this? And this is nationwide. This is not just Utah. 73% said they pray. They turn to the heavens for help because they're at their wits' ends. 73%. That's how they do it. I think there is a little bit, I think prayer is helpful. But I think, you know, in your case, you could do all you needed some help.
Well, let me give you kind of what happens to a caregiver when it goes on too long. Typically, most caregivers, which might be a spouse or it might be a daughter, or a son, can get through about 18 months of caregiving really without any detrimental effects. But as it goes on, the first thing that happens is they start developing depression. Almost without fail, everybody starts developing some degree of depression. Maybe, you know, very strong depression, maybe very mild depression. After about 2 years, because of the depression and because of their focus, they basically don't have any more ties to the family or friends. They typically sever ties with their support group, which is exactly the opposite of what they should be doing.
Exactly.
And so it doesn't surprise me that people pray for help, because basically they isolate themselves. And after about 3 years, they're trying to do it on their own. They've isolated themselves from friend and family. They're suffering from severe depression, and they probably don't have anywhere else to turn, would be my impression.
It's interesting you would mention that, because of my close friends, you know, who I won't mention names, that's exactly what happened with his mother. He was taking care of her, and he got so depressed, he almost lost his life, unless he was rescued. And he did. He isolated himself from all of his other friends. Why is that?
I don't know why, but that's what happens. Do you have any ideas on that, Greg?
Well, I think part of it is fairly obvious. It's because they're so busy taking care of their loved one in their home. It's a 24-hour job. They simply don't have the time or the availability of social contact. They're too busy. They're too busy taking care of their loved one. So these are very courageous people who dedicate themselves to caring for their wife or their husband in the home. And other people don't know how to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to stay away. So it's not only self-imposed isolation, but it's isolation because other people don't understand and don't know how to help. They don't know how to become involved.
Is there any help? Let's say, you know, we're the typical American, and we face retirement. We're on Social Security. We may have a little bit of money come in for okay. We're barely scraping by, taking care of food, transportation, clothing costs, housing costs, gas, electricity, your prescriptions, which can be hundreds and thousands of dollars a year. You're barely making it. This happens, okay, to your loved one. Are there any entitlements? Can Medicare, Medicaid, anything kick in that will help cover the cost of care?
Well, first of all, there are services that are offered by approximately 700 to 800 area agencies on aging that are located all over the United States. And area agencies on aging were created in the 1965 Older Americans Act, along with Title VIII of the Social Security Revision, which was Medicare, and Title IX, which became Medicaid. The problem is that the area agencies on aging, and in Utah we have 14 of them. There we have the Salt Lake County Aging Services, Davis County Aging Services, and so forth. problem is they don't get a lot of funding, but they do help people. They have counseling services, they have legal services, they have respite care, they have companion services, they have Meals on Wheels, they operate the senior centers and so forth. So they're a source of help. But on the other hand, because they're underfunded, they often can't always help everybody. They have a tendency to maybe help the people who have the lower income first. The other thing, and really the reason why we organized the Utah Care Planning Council, was for that reason. There's just no place for people to turn. And so we really want to encourage people to attend our workshops. We have two or three or four workshops every month. We have them at the Salt Lake Community College Miller Campus, the Salt Lake Community College Redwood Campus. We're going to be having them at Utah Valley, UVSC, Utah Valley State College. We're doing them right now at Clearfield High School, and Greg will be doing one. Do you know where in Ogden?
It'll be at the Weber County Library on Jefferson, 25th and Jefferson in Ogden.
I would suggest that any and every listener should attend one or more or several of these workshops, because we are talking critical information to your well-being, your health and well-being. Nobody can do it alone. People try, they can't do it. You end up isolated, depressed, like you said. And instead of waiting for the crisis to happen when it's just picking up the pieces, let's start planning right now. Let's take the advice of our mothers. You know, let's take the advice of everybody who was in this field and start planning. And you can't plan unless you know what to plan for. And, you know, everybody has their gifts, everybody has their time, and the thing about Mr. Thomas Day, Tom Day, and Greg, these gentlemen, Greg Gregson, is that they have assembled a team of experts, you know, called the Utah Care Planning Council, and they are Salt Lake Valley's team of elder care experts. And, of course, Greg Gregson will be heading up, or is heading up, the group for Northern Utah. And there are a number of websites. How do we, I mean, a number of workshops. How do we find, where do we get the information about the workshops, and how do we sign up? How do we, run us through
First of all, we get a lot of people signing up. And by the way, we've had a really good response to these workshops.
Excellent.
We've had, at the Miller campus, we have 50, 60 people, you know, each time.
That is so encouraging.
We did one last month in July, which normally these kinds of things don't go too well. We had 24 people there at the Redwood campus.
Wow.
They can sign up directly on the internet by going to the domain Care for Utah.
Care for
Utah. One word, .com.
Careforutah.com.
And that takes them right to the sign up page.
Okay. Careforutah.com. It'll take you right to the sign up page. And of course, they'll have the times and dates and places of the workshops.
Correct. Now, the Northern Utah aren't on there yet, nor are the Utah Valley, but we'll have them on there within a month or so.
Okay.
In addition, they can call me directly at 801-298-8676.
8676. 801-298-8676. Or go to careforutah.com.
And they can call Greg for Northern Utah. They can call him at 801-621-5553.
That's 801-621-5553 for Northern Utah, Greg Gregson, or Tom Day at 801-298-8676. And pretty soon you'll have the Northern Utah information on the careforutah.com.
And if they want to find out what our group in Utah Valley is doing, they can call 801-269-1150
for Southern Utah.
For Utah Valley.
Uh-huh. For Utah Valley. So a little south of the Wasatch Front. Are people getting more wise? I mean, this is encouraging. 26 people, 50 people coming to your workshops. That's amazing. How do you recruit these people? Is it word of mouth or?
Well, we have our brochures. I give you
right.
A
I have
copy
a brochure.
Of that.
Mm-hmm.
We have some people that we send internet information to that we've called and asked to send to them. We also get a lot of referrals from people who attend our workshops. We offer continuing education credit for insurance agents, attorneys, CPAs, members of SHRM, Society of Human Resource Manager, who have the PH, can't remember the designation, but we offer recertification credit for that, in addition to nursing home administrators. These folks attend, they see what we're doing, and we get a lot of referrals from them.
Oh, excellent. Do you work well with the Salt Lake Division of Aging, the County Division of Aging? Do you work in the state divisions?
We don't have any direct ties to them, but we certainly refer their services.
Ah, excellent. Utah Care Planning Council, with Thomas Day as a director, certified elder care advisor and care funding specialist, Natalie Moyle, who is a care service specialist, Cal Curtis, elder law, Medicaid and estate planning attorney, John Martin, financial and retirement planner, Kelly Anderson, professional care manager, and Shirley Ann Williams, reverse mortgage specialist. And we just have a couple of minutes. This time goes by so fast. It always amazes me as how short 30 minutes is when you're engrossed in such valuable information. But we'll maybe save it for next week. But just your take on reverse mortgage specialists is that not that many of them are used for correct purposes. It's kind of become a profit center for a lot of people, maybe institutions that are offering these and directing people in the wrong way.
I kind of feel that way. I don't know. I don't have any statistics, and I don't necessarily, can speak with great authority on this, but I have run into a lot of instances where people are induced to do reverse mortgages simply to reinvest the money, but yet I'm not sure that it does them any good, especially the elderly, to reinvest it. I think that it might be better spent paying down their mortgage, fixing up their house, giving them money to live on so they can stay at home, paying for care if they need it. I think that's what they were really designed to do, and I kind of feel people are taking advantage of the elderly and inducing them to do something that maybe not be to their best benefit.
Excellent. Well, we certainly will have time to discuss that, and I'm sure that in future programs we'll be talking exclusively about reverse mortgages.
We'll have our reverse mortgage specialist.
We'll have Shirley Ann Williams here. This is Elder Care Issues with Tom Day. He is the director of the Utah Care Planning Council and director of these valuable workshops. To find out about the workshop nearest you, please log on to careforutah.com. That'll take you right to the information and sign-up page, careforutah.com on the Internet. Or you can call Tom at 298-8676. Is that right?
Yes.
298-8676. Or you can call Greg at Greg Gregson at 621-5553. 621-5553. Or for Utah Valley, call 269-1150. Or better yet, just call the radio station and we'll have these numbers made available to you. Thank you for joining us this week. My name is Mark Van Wagner. I'm your host with Tom Day, and this is Elder Care Issues. We'll see you next week at the same time, right here on AM 1060 KDYL. Have a great week.
You do a great job.